a song came from England to us and all over the world. Wow. What in the world? So great. We'll be in Luke 24 again today. And if you remember, we are talking about worship today, which that song preaches the message clearly that it's about worship. And but we take it and we're going to put it into context in our world today. We again open up the Word of God, which was written by the eyewitnesses of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Messiah, who has changed the world. It's undeniable. It doesn't matter who you talk to, it's undeniable, but the person of Jesus Christ is the most influential person who has ever lived. Especially for those who put their faith and trust in him, changed their world. And then that changed the world. So the question we've been asking, has the good news of Jesus Christ changed our world? See, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Has it changed your world? And given eternal life, knowing God's world from beginning to end. It's not, you know, you have eternal life. And so often we preach it, just that's like salvation after we die, this physical life. Well, that's the understanding of eternal life is he's offered us eternal life that takes us way to the very beginning, the foundations of existence. And now we understand life from that all the way to an eternity with him forever and ever and ever. It's an eternal life. Making a conscious decision to allow his world then to transform our world so we can know his love for the world and put that love into practice to influence it for his glory. The only problem with that is I was informed last week that if we think this is just what God's world is, we're missing out. Because this is just the spinning ball that we live on. God's world is everything. We just witness it. We get on our world. This is still kind of our world. We try to wrap our minds around God's world. It takes us into the solar system, to into the spiritual world, his world. So it's bigger. His world is bigger than just the globe. And we see that at creation. We step into God's world. It is way bigger than just this the globe. Now we know that is from his word. This is the first sermon in this series of messages. What in the world? Remember? And I said, what in the world? It's giving us that surprise. That's the name of the series. And so that we influence the world. We see God's world by his word, spoken, written. Word of God that rules the universe, that we study in the ologies of academia, if you remember us talking about all that. And so through the word, if we allow it to allow ourselves to understand it, and we know that it governs the world, and then when we get into the word of God and we put it into practice, we become witnesses. It's like the disciples were the witnesses of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, as they witnessed it, then they got to testify. They were witnesses of it, so then they testified of it. Can I get a witness? Right? And so when that happens in our lives, then we're witnesses, and we become the witness. That was last week. And as we witness, we have the active of God's working in our lives. It's called grace. God being active in our lives when we do not deserve it, or we have not earned it. It's his unmerited favor to us, his active work. And we understand that this is accessed by faith as we acknowledge him, accept Jesus into our lives, and we allow his spirit to work in our lives, then his grace is active in our lives. That's all found in Romans 5, 1 through 5. So through that, we become his witnesses. From his word, we're witnesses. And the disciples, we see that in Luke 24, 45 through 48. That's what happens in the lives of the disciples. And then we jump to Acts 1, 8. Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. That's taking this witness to now disciple and to spread what God would have us, his love and his grace throughout the earth. And we know that that's what happened because that's what we're here today because of it. The disciples took that seriously and they put it into practice, and that's why we're sitting here today. Through their witness, allowing God to change their world, allowing God's world to change their world, that they became world changers. And it now influences our world. They did this through receiving power from the Holy Spirit. And they're led by the Holy Spirit and to the activity of that. And that's how these connect. And we see then, but before that happens, right? While that's happening, we catch one more thing that we need to see in their lives that changes our world, that allows us to connect to God's world in a way that then we continue to be witnesses and we continue to be able to know the active work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, which is next week. We're going to talk about the prescription or the description. The description of the Holy Spirit, of how that happened and the work of the Spirit and having power, that's next week. Before we get there, we see one more practice, one more thing that God had the disciples experience, witness before wholeness in the Holy Spirit. Luke 24, verse 50. When he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They worshiped him. They saw through the word of God. If you go back to verse 45, right, he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And so he connected the law and the prophets with himself. And so they realized that he is Christ. He is the anointed one. He is Messiah. So through the word and through what they witnessed, they realized that he was God. And so it brought them to worship. So have you ever worshiped? Has the truth of God's word spoken to you to the point where you gave witness and knowing that his spirit has touched your spirit, that you know he is Lord and you are his? Where you've acknowledged that you've moved from self-worship, seeking things that are going to make you feel good, rich, famous, all of those idols, have you moved from seeing that and saying, you know, that's all self-worship and I need to worship the God of heaven? The things that are best of us, best for us through worshiping God, knowing that his will is better than our will. Have you experienced that? I mean, it happens, right? We get slipped into self-worship often. And we have to be recalibrated. We have to reorganize and go, oh yeah, we got it. God, you are number one. That's what that song was all about, the heart of worship. Right? When you got a group of people that are focused on God and they just kind of get busy doing church and kind of miss God, they need to recalibrate and they need to get back to the heart of worship. Have you experienced that? Because that's part of what we need to understand has to happen in our lives to really be an influence in the world, to allow God's world to change our world. It's worship, to put him in his rightful place. Yeah, at the point of worship, there's nothing but us praising him for his grace, seeing him active in our lives, and it leads to worship. That's what happened in the disciples' lives here. For us, we have brought it down to music. Many times we call the portion of our service when we sing and we get out the music and we call it worship. Which it is. It can be. Or it can be just singing. True? So my question to you is, have you in song ever gone from singing to worship, where God is exalted in your life and you're not just thinking about, oh, is this a good song or isn't a good song? And, you know, do I know this song? But you've actually transferred into understanding that this song is you singing to Almighty God through in worship. The song is the most practiced form of worship there is in church today. And partly that's why we sing. We give a lot of opportunity to do it. We do it a lot. And it's powerful. It's a great way to connect and worship. When it really, for those of us that have experience and do worship on a Sunday morning, I believe we would come to the point where I wish we could describe it to you. It's a point of a worship where we're singing, and sometimes, you know, you start singing a song and in the middle of it is when you turn and your heart goes to worship. Sometimes it doesn't happen, sometimes, but you know, it takes practice to get there. We need to practice it. I wish I could describe it to you. Especially as one who struggles to make song. Especially song that someone else cares to hear. Make this joke often, but Jones the other day, I wake him up in song, and I say goodnight to him sometimes in song. So I was walking into his room one morning in song, and as soon as I step in, he goes, I didn't know he was awake, but this is the first words out of his mouth. You call that singing? By God's grace, I love to sing. Because it connects in worship. I love to sing songs, especially songs of worship. You got any songs of worship that you like? This is where you get to interact. Songs of worship, what do you got? What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend. The doxology, we're gonna get to that one. Praise God from whom all blessing. Oh man, it almost takes you there right away, doesn't it? Amazing grace. Amazing grace. It's good. Others? Be still and know I am. I don't know that one. I don't think.
The song they're
going to
sing after the sermon.
The song, yeah. Something to look forward to, friends. Song of worship, yet not I. It's coming. That's good. Haley? Away in the manger. You sing that as worship? That's awesome. Good job. That's my point right now. I'm going to make it. There's a few songs that lend itself to worship. Who has held the oceans in his hands? Behold our God, right? We sang it last week. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Huh? I can't even remember a song. That's how good I am at making song. I was singing it here yesterday if you would have been listening. It was kind of good even, I think. Create me a clean heart. Away in the manger. See, we were singing in Kidnection Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing that. Can you sing that in worship? How about this one? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Can you sing that in worship, knowing that he loves you? The Word says it. If the Word says it and you can sing it in worship, you can be his witness. You can know eternal life. Worship. Worship through song. It's power. Worship through song is not the only discipline we practice to worship. There are others. You got to go to work this week? You got to do some work? Work can be worship, doing it for the glory of God. Has that flipped inside of your practice each and every day? That God has given you gifts, talents, and abilities to be fruitful? That's what the command in Genesis is to be fruitful. That's what he created you to do. Be fruitful. Make fruit. That can be in the form of wheat. That can be in the form of raising cows. That can be in the form of construction. That can be in the form of whatever you do for work. Taking care of other people. Being fruitful in relationship. Has it switched where your work is worship? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And that line in there about little ones, right? They may be weak, but he is strong. Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, being great influencers on the children below you. It's worship. So we were singing and reading verses. I heard some little ones making some noise out here. And what made me think is like, man, that's worship. Is a mom, a dad taking care of their little one. Oh, worship, my friends. Do a good job taking care of your kids and grandkids. Then we have the obvious ones, prayer. Asking God to have the knowledge of his will, knowing his love. One maybe we don't practice too often is solitude. That can be worship. Sitting and listening, right? Putting everything that we want to do and everything that we have to do aside to just sit for 5 minutes, 10 minutes in solitude, shut the radio off, stop the vehicle, and just take time to listen to God, to recalibrate in worship of getting his perspective on life. It's a good practice. Not easy to do, friends. I think partly why we turn on the radio all the time is because we're scared of what God's going to tell us. Yeah, we don't want to take solitude because we want to be so busy, because if God tells us something, we're going to be convicted and then we're going to have to change. But it's worth it to worship in solitude. Service, a way to worship, loving other people. God loves other people. We should too. So we serve them. We serve in areas. Another form of worship we don't talk a lot about around here, and part of it is I don't like talking about it because churches just they make a too big of a deal out of it, but I don't want to steal it from us. Is our giving? Our giving is worship. When you write a tithe check. If the problem we miss out in this whole giving thing in church is that we don't remember it's worship. We think of it as just the church getting our money so that they can do whatever they want when they want, just because they feel like it. And we don't want that. We want it to be worship. And when we, as a church, look to spend money, we need to ask those questions. Is this what God wants us to do? And we need to do an act of worship when we spend money, just like when we give money. And so when we write out a check, we address our envelope, we send it off. Maybe it's inserting cash or a check inside the tithe boxes back here. Maybe add a prayer, a song, thanking God for everything that he's given you so that, you know, you just are so thankful that then out of the abundance of what he's given you, you give back to him. And that's worship. And it leads to praise God from whom all blessings flow. I wish I could sing the rest of it for you. Worship is a gift. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. In giving his one and only son, he gave us a gift that we then can see him as the Lord in heaven and we worship him. And keeping worship as worship has been in practice from the very beginning. That's why God gave the Israelites the commands, have no other gods before him. Do not let anything slip in place of God in our lives. Do not worship idols. In all of this, we understand that this becomes a lifestyle then. Worship is a lifestyle. See, when we reduce worship to something we do or have done in a certain place, we're missing the whole heart of worship. Jesus had this conversation with a Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. And we'll not read it for the sake of time today and a whole nother sermon series that unfolds in the time we have left. I encourage you to read it. See, Jesus reveals to a Samaritan woman, half Jew, he reveals that he is the living water. She responds and seeing through the conversation that she needs this living water. So she says, how can I get it? He says, well, go get your husband and I'll tell you. And all of a sudden it's revealed that she has had five and she's fallen short. And so she says, I see you're a prophet. And she turns the discussion into worship. Let's turn over a few pages. John chapter 4. Verse 21. Let's start in verse 19. The woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped him on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. And the Jews have deduced worship down to being in a place. She knows that. And like, that's not worship. Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and now has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Worship in spirit. Acknowledge God. Acknowledge that this is a spiritual existence we live in. It's spiritual. It's been created by God. And so we have an experience of existence and we need to worship God knowing he is active in our lives. So what I say is we must be worship in spirit by acts. The acts of God in our life. That's what the book of Acts, by the way. That's the description of how God acted in the disciples' lives that created the church. And so we can live spiritually in the spirit of God actively working in our life. So acts, we must worship in acts and we must worship in facts. Acts and facts. He says we must worship in truth. reality, facts of life. This is a worship of both and, in spirit and how it's carried out in truth. So we worship in acts and facts. It's a both and. And Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but me, but by me. True worship accepts Jesus. True worship is all summed up into Jesus. And so it can be done anywhere, at any time, in everything we do. And this is just a side note. If you continue to read the story, she now knew the word. She became witness to it. And so she started living a life of worship. And it changed her world so much that she went and told her friends. And they came running, and it started changing all their worlds too. But that's a side note. Back to Luke 24. We see this happening in the disciples' lives. They worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Verse 53, and they stayed continually in the temple praising God. They were in the temple in worship because that's the way they knew how to practice praising God. What's really this that puts it together is these were Jews that practiced and knew the Ten Commandments. No other gods before me, do not worship idols. They wouldn't be worshiping because of Jesus Christ if he wasn't the Savior of the world, if he wasn't Messiah. And so they continually worship in the temple. They continually worship throughout their days, praising God. Praising God. And so that's why we come together in worship. That's why we know that it's through Jesus that we can live life. And it's not, it gets to the point where it's not that we live life on our own, but it's not us, it's him. And then we start praying, right? That it's not I, but Christ through me. That now I've witnessed, through his word, I've known him. Now I've witnessed his active work in my life. And now I worship him. And so now I want him to be what goes before me in everything. So that because I know his world has changed my world, and now I want to influence his world for his glory. And what we know, they gave their lives to do just that. And that's what changed the world. They entered a life of worship in everything they did. My friends, worship works when we get it. When we cross over to that, life really comes together and we understand life and it works. I'd like to ask the worship team to come forward as we prepare to sing Yet Not I. With the question in our minds, have we allowed ourselves to worship where we've moved from life being about us to life being about him and his glory? And to respond to that question, we can stand together and we can sing and allow this to be worship in our lives and have it change our world, so that we can influence the world for his glory.